Hi there. Welcome to Golden State Media Concepts podcast on relationships. I'm your host, John Johnson, and we're going to be talking about love languages, social media in relationships, and another one, conflict resolution, and I'm sure that affects all of us. What I hope to accomplish with this is to discuss relationships. We're going to talk about everything that you can imagine. We're going to talk about men and women. We're going to talk about what it's like to be in a relationship, what you can expect, some of the pitfalls, and the joys of being in relationships. We're talking about love. We're talking about falling out of love. Everything in between. Men, women, gay, straight, it doesn't matter. We're going to cover it here on the show. But as I said at the top of the show, we're going to be covering a few things in this particular podcast. And one of the things that affects me, and I've certainly wrecked a few relationships, but we're talking about love languages. There have been a few authors that have covered this topic in particular, and one was an author, Gary Chapman. He wrote a book called The Five Languages of Love. I found it very enlightening. There's words of affirmation, and some people share their affection through saying nice things. And so there's words of affirmation. They give gifts. They have quality time, acts of service, physical touch. And again, each one of us experiences this in a different way. But something that I think is very important was when you are in a relationship and you're borrowing from this topic of love languages, understand something very important to this is there's ways in which you want to be loved and there's ways in which your partner wants to be loved. And it's really important to understand how your partner wants to be loved, because that's the communication part of this. I think quite often we share our own concept and then expect people to give that back to us. Well, that's because that's how we're wired to think from children. We want stuff for ourselves. And you know, as if we can relate, we've probably been told that, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So that's kind of in the roots to our wiring. So it would be natural to do the same sort of thing as you get older. But when it comes to relationships now, understand that there's got to be a little bit of a paradigm shift. You have to understand that it's the person you're in a relationship with. Another thing to understand is what is important to another person is how they feel when they're with you. And borrowing from love languages is great. It's a great tool to be able to improve the quality of your relationship. Now, it's whether it's with a significant other, it could be with your children, with your parents, with your coworkers. Again, all of these are relationships. And by understanding this, by applying it, watch what happens. Watch the look in someone's eyes when they feel like, wow, you get me. You understand what I'm talking about. That's the nice thing about relationships. You have to be in one to be able to know what works. You can't do this in isolation. Not this. It's one thing to give to self. Yeah, you can go out and you can buy yourself. You can do what I call retail therapy. You can go out and shop at your favorite store, Nordstrom or Macy's, or buy whatever's on sale and sort of massage your, whatever's ailing you. But when you want to do something for someone else, you can't do it as though you're doing it for yourself. You got to figure out what communicates to them. And sometimes that may mean having a conversation with them. If they can tell you, great. Now, some people aren't used to talking about themselves, so you may have to draw them out. But that's part of the work of being in a relationship with someone. You work on that. You learn to talk to them. And I myself, I'm the kind of person that I don't just blah, 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 blah. I don't just run my mouth and just tell any and everybody what I'm thinking. I really have to be in a space where I can communicate, where I feel I can be vulnerable and to want to talk about these things. So what that involves is you got to spend a little time with me. So learn to spend time with your partner, get them to loosen up, and then you begin to talk about these things that are important to them. And obviously communication is the key. That's what this show is about. We're going to talk about communication. When you develop that with them, you know, you're developing intimacy. You're developing trust. And that's what it takes in order to make this stuff work. It's not something that somebody can just walk in and just start doing, especially when they're just doing it from their own reference. Now, there's the altruistic individual that just wants to give and do it for the sake of giving. I mean, that's great. But what I'm talking about here is something of developing a relationship with somebody. And how do you do that? Well, this is a technique. Languages of love. Gifts. Some people like gifts. As I said, go shopping at Macy's. They're having a shoe sale. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. If you want to make an impression on your woman, go shopping with her. And don't just sit there in the chair when she comes out and tries on something and comes out and wants to show you. Be interested. Show that attention. Show that affection. I guarantee you're going to get a reaction, because most guys don't want to do that kind of thing. And when you do, when you show that interest, you'll get the feedback. And ladies, I know guys oftentimes really get hung up in talking about themselves a great deal. But one of the languages of love for a guy is to be able to talk about the sports thing. Give him a little attention. I guarantee he'll appreciate it. He'll really think you're interested. And, you know, you may find out something you didn't know. You can make it relevant. You can make it analogous to something that's important to you. But, you know, I'll tell you what. When women use sports metaphors around a guy, guys love it. Because it's something that's innate in them is to be able to talk about it, but not direct. Meaning, when you use a metaphor, you're using a different set of words. Instead of saying, hey, honey, you know, I really don't like that when you look at me that way. You could say, you know what? I don't like it when you glare at me like you're staring at men from first base, like you're the umpire staring into the dugout. It really makes me feel uncomfortable. He'll get it. That's one of the things. In acts of service. Now, this is a language of love that I think a lot of people can relate to, and especially the person that likes to do things for someone else. An act of service. Well, a lot of guys get stuck in the friend zone when they do this sort of thing. But, you know a lady who's an issue with her car, or there's a plumbing problem, and you want to run over there and help. Well, I tell you what, being able to give to someone is an act of service. And the person that's receiving that, say, for example, the guy comes over to your house, he sees that you've got a plumbing problem, he comes over and fixes. I mean, not only just does he fix it, but he says, you know what, why don't we put in a new faucet? Because this faucet is just raggedy. Well, that's going to take a little more time. He's got to go down to the hardware store, get that faucet and want to put it in and put all the pipes and hook everything up. And he says, see, look at that. Hey, you got a brand new one. That's an act of service. I'll bet you the guy's doing it out of love. He likes to be appreciated for that particular aspect of his skill, because not all guys can do that sort of thing. Not all guys are mechanically inclined, but those of us that are mechanical, we love that. We love being appreciated for that. But understand, that's an act of love. That's that giving that shows, I really care about that person. Some people can just throw money at a problem and never have to touch it. But not everybody has the means to do that. So that's an act of service. Physical touch. Now, walking up and just arbitrarily stroking someone's arm or grabbing their hand, and that's what I'm talking about, physical touch. Or I'll tell you what's a really nice one is if you're just kind of sitting, a guy, you're sitting back, you're just kind of not paying attention to things, and you might have a little stress on your face, and when your woman walks up to you and just starts stroking your forehead, doesn't that feel good? Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It does feel good. And you just start rubbing that forehead, and you can just feel the stress just melt away. I like that. That's physical touch. And, you know, there's the other part, there's sexual arousal, too. You can... And guys kind of relate to that part. I know women are always saying, well, guys are always trying to hit a home run in the first date. Well, sex is very important. I mean, it's important to all of us. But guys tend to respond to that because that's part of their wiring. You know, they have to understand themselves that, you know, there's when it's appropriate and there's when it's not. But given the experience, guys obviously respond to sexual conduct. They love it. But again, you got to do it when it's appropriate. So did I talk about words of affirmation? Yes. Gifts, quality time, acts of service, physical touch. I think about, what does it mean to be affectionate? Well, it comes in several forms. It's a look. It's a stroke of the arm. It's being thoughtful. Thinking of remembering the... today's the anniversary, you know, that sort of thing. Never forget those. These are tools you could use the rest of your life, and it works in all your relationships. And what I have coming up next is social media in relationships. We're going to talk about that because I know that a lot of people borrow that. And what happens to them is if you use it in the wrong way, it could grenade a relationship in a heartbeat. And we'll be right back after this.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's GSMCpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to Golden State Media Concepts, podcast on relationships, and I'm your host, John Johnson. And I am going to talk about the social media in relationships in this segment. There's the good and the not so good. I don't tend to use the word bad. I just say not so good because we want to keep this positive here. One of the things that comes up, and I'm talking about the good stuff, is the communication with friends and family. Now, social media has been around for a little while now, and a lot of people use it. Billions of people use social media. And the positive aspects of it are you lose contact with people. I mean, it used to be that when we talked to somebody, we either did it over the telephone or we might send them a letter. But with social media, and I'm talking about your Facebook and your Twitter and your Snapchat, things like this, you have an opportunity to be seen, to see and be seen almost instantly. And the nice thing about that is you have a global reach, and you can reach and love people who you could normally lose contact with, and they're readily available. And you can make friends, you can learn about things, share ideas, interests. And here's another thing. You know, this time, politics, what do? They borrow in social media all the time. They pull up ideas. They want to fire it out there. You can Twitter. You can tweet something. And you know exactly what that person is thinking, and you can respond back in real time. And that's an amazing thing. That's just like having a telephone, but you can reach millions and millions of people. You know, when you're on a phone call, you can talk to that one person on the end of the line. But when you have something like Snapchat or Twitter or Facebook, you can reach hundreds, thousands, even more people in an instant. Okay? That's powerful. That's incredibly powerful. Yet it has a downside. And this is something, and again, this all relates to relationships. The downside is, think about how fast that information gets out there. If you're involved with somebody and you're putting your business out there on Facebook, you might want to find out how comfortable your person is with something like that. Because relationships, I mean, it's designed to be intimate. You want that relationship with that person right there. But when you're throwing everything out there in the world for the world to see, people are judging that. I don't think that that's not necessarily a good thing, because people have the intimacy of what's going on between the two of them and the perception of things. Because realize, if somebody else is looking at this, not just your partner, but when the world is looking at this, they may have a different spin on it. That could be death to a relationship. And when people are going through hard times, one of the unfortunate things that happens is, if they put that information out there, people are looking at it, and people are passing judgment. And there are lots of people that we may have as friends and acquaintances that may want to weigh in on this, and they could be giving you bad advice. Advice, and this is my opinion, but I think advice should be given from someone who is more of a neutral party. I mean, there are people who are experienced in life and who might be great resources, But you got to be careful with that because everybody's had their experience. And some people might tell you, do this. This is the only way. I don't do that. I personally qualify things. And number one, I don't give unsolicited advice, for one, because I found out that that's, you know, that kind of just makes you seem a little narcissistic, like my way is the only way. But it's about listening to what's going on. And when you're Snapchatting or instant messaging or Facebooking, who's really listening to you? They're just looking at it, reading the words, looking at the pictures, and making a decision, and they're firing it back. And when you're in a relationship with somebody, think about what's happening to them. Now you've just put them and everything they're about on front street. Now, we're not talking about catching a criminal who just robbed a bank. You take a picture of him, put it out there, and we'll all find him together. No, we're talking about something, and you've had a breakdown in communication. You've had an argument with your significant other, and you're putting the details of that out there in the world. Well, what if you make a mistake? And quite often, in conflict, that's what we've done. We may have misinterpreted something somebody said, an action, and it's you need to have time to process that. And social media doesn't necessarily give you that opportunity, not when you just throw it out there in the world. So what happens? It gets misinterpreted, and then it's magnified. And once it's out there, you can't get it back. So you don't get a chance to recall it. They're like bullets. Once it's out there, it's out there. And people get very hurt, and people can be damaged for a very long time. It takes years to build a reputation. It takes seconds to destroy it. And when you really look at your life and the things that you value and how long that it's taken for you to build those things, and relationships included, to think that they can be destroyed in an instant. Social media. Be careful. Use it wisely. I think my advice on that is, it's like with when you have a breakdown, when you're in an argument with someone, you don't always say what you're thinking. Hold on to some of that. Give it a chance to cool. And I usually wind up feeling better the next morning. I know it's quite normal feeling to want to say everything that you think, but I can tell you, if that's how you operate, then you need to come up a few notches. You need to really think about the other person. Because bullying or trying to make them to submit to your way of thinking is not the way to win a person over. It's, if you listen to my last segment, we talked about love languages. Borrow from that, and you'll be much more convincing. It's much easier or better in the long run to be able to get someone's cooperation rather than to feel like you're going to browbeat them into submitting to you. And when you think about how powerful social media has become, so it does merit, when you're using it, consider what you want to have happen, consider the impact on the other person, and when you think about yourself, think about what you're putting out there. Because everyone's going to have judgment on it. Really. They will. They will judge it. That's what human beings do. You do it yourself. You do it without even thinking about it because you're wired to do that. You're wired to assess very quickly what's going on and make a decision. That's what we do. So in something like this, social media, be very careful. You can use it to your advantage. Send out messages of love, don't hate. We'll be back after this.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And if you're just joining in, I've been talking about love languages, social media in relationships, and I am now going to cover conflict resolution in relationships. You know, some people avoid conflict because they see conflict as bad. But what I come to believe is learning how to deal with conflict is one of the best tools you can ever have. Look, it's inevitable. It's in all of us. We don't agree on everything. And I mean, it's just not possible. We're human beings. We make choices. We make decisions. We decide what we like based on our own experiences. And we're not all the same. So what happens between you and another person is going to be conflict. You're going to have a different idea about what you want. But how do you deal with the differences, really? That's very important. You know, there's another thing, conflict. I mean, it exists, whether it's visible or invisible. Ignoring it and sweeping it under the rug does what? It's not effective. Basically, it tries to make invisible something that's an elephant in the room. You know, there's passive-aggressive people. I mean, that's very common, and that's part of the invisible-invisible thing, and it exists because there's an imbalance of power, and there's a lack of an effective tool for addressing the matter. So people become passive-aggressive. What's passive-aggressive? Well, that's like telling you what you want to hear, and then your partner going and doing something else rather than being above board, being up front. Now, the important thing about this is you have to create the space in a relationship in order to be able to do this. And people oftentimes have a difficulty with opening up, and that could be childhood issues, and you know, being bullied, feeling afraid of saying your piece. That happens. And okay, how do you deal with that? Well, therapy is a good way to deal with that. But I'm talking about some of the reasons for conflict and also why people can be passive aggressive. You know, retaliation, that's another fear that can happen. That's why people won't be above board with you. And again, that it's important to create the space in a relationship. And by that, I'm talking about trust. You're going to be in situations where you're not going to hear what you want to hear. But how do you react to that person when you hear it? Do you scowl at them or do you thank them for telling you? You know, you'd be amazed at the response if you were to thank them for telling you, for being honest with you. And I know that's hard from a listener standpoint, for somebody to tell you something that you don't like about yourself or what they think, what they feel. Because remember, they're talking from their feelings. And here's another clue. When you're, as a listener, understand something very, very, very important here, that just because the person is saying it does not make it true. But remember, they're voicing their feelings. And it would probably take forever to dial it down to be exactly perfect. But you're trying to get the dialogue going. You're trying to get this thing from being stuck. So you got to start. You know, you can flush it out. And one of the other tips as a listener is you want to mirror back what you're hearing. And what that means is what the person is saying to you, you mirror it back. That they say, well, I don't like it when you talk really rough to me. You have to learn to mirror back what they're saying to you. Mirroring back, what is that? An example of mirroring is when they tell you what they're complaining about. Like, well, I don't like it when you just leave dishes in the sink. And you mirror back. Okay, you don't like it when I leave dishes in the sink. Now, that's not being patronizing. That's making sure that you're hearing what they're saying to you. And you don't get to embellish it. I mean, you don't get to add stuff to it. You got to say what they're saying to you, because remember, you're trying to make sure you're getting it straight. Another good thing to do, write it down. Write it down so that we don't get it confused with something else, because it's very easy to get this thing all twisted up, because we're trying to untangle the wiring here. We're trying to, you know, it's like spaghetti wiring. When you're angry and you're upset, these things are crisscrossing each other, and you just keep remembering the levels of frustration, and you're not getting it resolved. So write these things down. It helps. And I always like to put a date on it, because when we start working on things, and you may find it takes a while. It takes a while to get this thing going, but you want to be able to track your progress. You want to show that you've addressed something, and that's an important thing, because sometimes the person that may have the complaint may not even recognize that you're addressing the matter. And it's a pretty amazing thing when the light goes on. So, oh, yeah, You have been doing that. So you're trying to make progress because, you know, you won't get it perfect the first time. Because remember, there's piles and piles of the stuff that's in their mind that they're frustrated about. So you may not get it right the first time, but it's important to have a recognition on both parts that we're making a difference here, that we're trying. Because there's something about a relationship. There's three parts. There's you, there's the other person, and then there's the relationship. So what are you committed to? If you're committed to the relationship, remember, this is the relationship show. You're committed to the relationship, you got to put effort into it. And it takes a while. It takes a while to work on this stuff and to get it right. Because if we're not used to doing this, we're basically used to serving ourselves. Throw a grenade in the room and walk away, right? You say what you want to say, no matter how mean or angry it is, and then you walk off. And imagine what that does to the other person. Because, you know, when a person turns their back to you, they're not trying to communicate with you, not in the least. They're basically shutting you down. They're shutting you off. And that's very hard for a person to deal with. Because, you know, you just can't reach up and spin a person around and make them listen to you. Oh, yeah, you could do that, but you think that listening is actually going to happen? No, because the listening happens between the ears. Not just going in the head, but it's in the brain. And they got to feel that they're being respected. So another thing, it's important to stay on topic. Because with the idea of conflict resolution, when you've got a whole bunch of things that are bothering you, and I've had this happen to me. You're talking to the girlfriend, she's telling me what's bothering her, and everything, including the kitchen sink, comes out. As a listener, as a guy, that is the hardest thing in the world to deal with because you're thinking, okay, where do I start? I mean, do I just walk away from this smoking heap? No, you don't. You try to help him narrow it down to one thing. And you know what's amazing? Oftentimes you will find that there's one common thread that underlies all of this. And when you fix that, a lot of these other things just melt away. Imagine how good that feels. So that's limiting the discussion so that you don't feel overwhelmed. And remember, everything that's being said doesn't have to be factual because that is difficult because people are remembering how they felt. So they're going to describe it in words about how they feel. And it may seem real inflammatory. Expect that. That's part of the process. It's supposed to go that way. And then after the person's had a time, and we should put a time limit on this so you just can't go on and on and on and on and on forever, then you can see some of the tension start to melt away. And then you begin to work on communicating. You begin to talk about how we're going to resolve this. Okay, I've written it down. You don't want me to put the dishes in the sink and just leave them. Would you like me to rinse them off? Would you like me to do the dishes once or twice a week? Whatever your partnership, whatever your agreement is going to be, you work on those things. And I guarantee you're going to start having a difference in the relationship that you have. And here's something that I think is important to all communication is when you're trying to resolve a conflict, it is important to avoid backing a person into a corner. I believe you should give a person a tactful way to back down. You may catch them with their hand in the cookie jar. I saw you do it. Now, that serves the person who's speaking. Oh, I saw you do it. I know you did it, blah, 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 blah. Well, think about it. They know they've been caught. But when you're willing to be diplomatic and show that, look, I'm not trying to cut your head off, but I want us to both feel whole, give them a tactful way to back down. Say, I would rather that you not have your hand in the cookie jar. How about we promise to not do that? And you both agree to it. It's a lot easier than making a person confess that everything that they ever did, because that's humiliating. And humiliation doesn't work. Shaming does not work. It's a tactic. It works on that guilt thread. It's the string on the guitar that's just the bad one. And guilt only gets worse. So don't use that. Don't guilt someone. But again, giving a person a tactful way to back out of a situation is like extending an olive branch. And that makes a person feel better about you. And remember what I said in one of the earlier segments about a person feels in a relationship, when they feel good about being around you, they'll want to repeat that experience. That's the dopamine, that's the endorphins, that's the everything going off in the mind. That's what's making all of that work. I want to thank you for listening to Golden State Media Concepts Relationships Podcast, where we talk about all things relationship related. You can follow us on the web at www.gsmcpodcast.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can download us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. I'm your host, John Johnson, and until next week, keep having those great relationships.